All right, Rabotai, it's Erev Shabbat, the time is short. We'll just make some observations on the Parashat HaShavua that we're reading, Parashat Vayeshev Yaakov. So there's one area in the Parashat that seems is confusing to some of our members. So I'd like to spend just a few minutes to try to unravel it and give some clarity. Let's go to the story where they sold Yosef. Now the Pasuk comes along and says, if you want to follow us, it's in Perek Lamedzayin Pasuk Chafheh. So they sat down to make a seudah. So after they sold Yosef, they felt that it was worthy to celebrate. We got rid of the bad one from our midst. When you get rid of the Rishaim, you rejoice. So they believed that they did something good. So they sat down and had a seudah. And they lifted their eyes. So they saw there was a caravan of Yishma'ilim, and the caravan was coming from Gilad. And what was this caravan transporting? Ugmalehem nosim nechot usri valot. These are different type of spices, which is unusual for Yishma'ilim to be transporting these aromatic spices. Normally they transport oil, tar, smelly malodorous items. But these guys were in the spice business. And where were they going? To deliver it. Lorid Mitzrayma. Fine. Vayomer Yehuda lechav, so Yehuda says to the brothers, listen, ma betza ki narog ketachinu. What profit can we make by killing? You can't make any profit by killing anybody. Lechu v'nimkenenu leYishma'ilim. Let's sell them. We'll fetch a price. We'll make some profit. V'yadenu al tihibo ki achinu b'sedenu hu. Listen, we don't want to harm them with our hands. Let's just sell them and we'll call it a day. And here's where it gets complicated. So the Midyanim came. They took him out of the board, the brothers. And they sold Yosef to Ishmaelim. Anybody see a problem over here? What are these Midyanim over here doing? It says the Midyanim Soharim came by. Who are they? Who's the Midyanim? Will the real purchaser please stand up and identify yourself? Is it the Midyanim or is it the Ishmaelim? Well, let's go a little further. The Pasuk comes along and says, in Pasuk Lamed Vav, והמדנים מכרו אותו אל מצרים. Oh, מחילה. So the מדנים sold him to מצרים. I don't understand it. ישמעאלים bought him, but the מדנים sold him. Anybody have any idea what's going on over here? Because the more I read, the more I see that this is quite complicated. Even go further. There's an interruption in with Yehuda and Tamar, which is for another time. After you finish the Yehuda and Tamar story, Yosef hurat Mitzrayma. Go to Pasuk, Lamipedek Lamitet, Pasuk Aleph. Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, or he was sent out to Mitzrayim. Vayikneu Potifar, Seris Paro Sarat Abahim. And who bought him? Potifar. Where did he buy him from? He had the Ishmaelim. If your head is spinning, it's for good reason. Obadiah, maybe you want to get some equipment. The members need equipment over here. Maybe bring the truck in front of the shul, because this is causing a lot of head spinning. Make up your mind. Is it Midyanim? Is it so? The Torah is playing ping pong. One time it's Mishmaelim, one time it's Midyanim. They bought them, they sold them. Again, we didn't come here to say anything, you know. Pishutosh Mikra. This is first grade stuff, by the way. This you should have had in first grade. Somebody should have explained this to you, what happened there. But ask most people, who sold them? Oh, it's Shmaelim. They bought them, they sold them. And then just show them the Pisukim, and they start to say, well, I'm not a Mikubal. I don't study Kabbalah. Yeah, that's it. This is not Kabbalah. This is Pishutosh Mikra. So we're going to have to consult with the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So let's start over here with the Or HaChaim HaKadosh of Chaim ben Attar. If you have it in your books, we're going to start in Pasuk Chaf Chet. Vaya'avru anashim midyanim. See it there, Tomer? Chaf Chet, Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Now, Rabotai, I'm well aware that you could have done what I'm doing. You could have done this yourself at home. Johnny Day and saying, I came here Friday to hear something. I would have had a tell me where it is. I read it tonight after dinner. Where was audio books? I stayed here extra. And he wants to get credit for reading an order Haim Kadosh, so we could all read. I'm letting you know that from the beginning. I'm not saying anything. I'm just reading order Haim Kadosh. You can leave now and go read it yourself later. That's it. Because I know on the way out, what do you do? You read Ohayim HaKadosh. Big deal. I ain't shop. Big deal. Nothing. Nothing major. But I do think it's major because none of you knew this Ohayim HaKadosh existed. So if anything, I exposed it to you. And now, as a bonus, I'll read it to you as well. Mr. Safdie, good morning. For the past 15 minutes before you came, I've been trying to convince our members over here that they are not fluent in how the sale of Yosef went down. The reason why they're not fluent is because the Pesukim seem conflicting. One Pesuk sounds like it was Yishma'ilim. One Pesuk sounds like it was Midyanim. And then the Midyanim sold them. And the Yishma'ilim sold them to Bodhiva. So we're trying to unknot this mystery of the sale of Yosef. That's all we came to do today. So it's Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Sarik Lada'at. Lama Hizkir Evrat Anashim Midyanim. What do we mention the Midyanim for? Ahar Shelo Haya Mecher Ela LiYishma'ilim. After all, the sale was to the Yishma'ilim. Ki Omro Vayim Koret Yosef LiYishma'ilim. Vekem Mukhach Ma'kitubim Lema'ala. Vini Urhat Yishma'ilim. It says clearly in the Pasuk that a caravan of Yishma'ilim came by. לחובן ימכרנו לישמעאלים אם כן סיפור ויעברו אנשים מדיינים לא נודע כוונתו. I don't know the כוונה of what the מדיינים are doing here. That's question of Ohayim HaKadosh. עוד רואני שאומר כתוב אחר זה והמדיינים מכרו אותו. Later on it says the פסוק למדבר that the מדיינים sold them. אם כן מוכר כי למדיינים מכרו. So they must have sold them to the מדיינים. וכתוב לישון מכחישו, but it said they sold to the ישמעאלים. So make up your mind, did they sell to the ישמעאלים or did they sell to the מדיינים? Well, they must have sold them to the מדיינים, because the פסוק says the מדיינים sold them to Egypt. עוד אמר כתוב אחר כך, או פרק למתת, פסוק א', ויוסף הורד מסלימה, ויקנהו פוטיפר מיד הישמעאלים. הרי עמיד המכת שישמעאלים, like I said in the beginning. So how did the rabbis answer this? The rabbis answered this. From here we learn there were many sales. It was not a one sale. It went to many hands. You understand? And they learn pasim. Ketone pasim, they says rashi tevot. To all the hands that Yosef got sold to. Pe, I think it's Potifar. The samich is Soharim. What's the yud? Ishmaelim. And the mem is Midyanim. That's the way the Midrash solves it. Says, okay, it wasn't one buyer. There was a lot of hands in this. Or Amar Kadosh says, no, I have a different derek. I want to explain the pshat over here. V'nachon hu, ki pirush devarim hu al derek, al zeh derek. Ki mitchila odia katuv v'nei urhat Yishma'ilim. Good. A band, the caravan of Yishma'ilim are coming by. V'devreh, Yehuda she'amad l'chuv v'nei k'rem l'Yishma'ilim. Let's come to Yishma'ilim. Only one problem. V'liyot she'orchot Yishma'ilim zu enam soharim le'tager b'chol min kinyan zulat b'ma she'ayu nos'im. These Yishma'ilim, they knew one business. They're spice merchants. And that's what they deal in. And therefore a spice merchant does not know anything about human trafficking. They don't know anything about the slave market. That's not the item. So they have no idea, even if they wanted to buy Yosef, like we would say, it's not their line. Their line is they sell spices. You want to sell me some na'na, you want to sell me some cinnamon, you want to sell me some, jasmine. Okay, we know exactly what the price is. We know how to market, but we don't. We're selling us a slave. Ve'en mitziut sheyiknu et Yosef. There's no way they're going to buy Yosef. To Yosef to the Yishma'ilim, it's a blind item. So therefore, they don't want to get involved in such a transaction. They don't know if they're paying more than they should pay, if they're paying less than they should pay. Put a gardenia on Yosef's head, then they can already make an assessment. But as a human, they have no idea how to deal with him. Asher al-Ken, look what Hashem did. Hizmin Hashem anashim midyanim sohalim. Who are these midyanim? They pull up exactly at the same time. The midyanim, the pasuk tells us, they were sohalim. What is a soher?
Merchant.
Or the way we would call it now with terminology, they're brokers. Mm. Now a broker, that's what he does all day long. A broker is involved in all business. He puts two sides together and he figures out a price and he knows everything. So therefore, if the Yishma'ilim would have been there alone, they wouldn't have cared. No, they wouldn't have bought him. They wouldn't have said, listen, we're not interested. However, the Midyanim Soharim were there. That means the two caravans pull up to the station at the same moment. Min Hashamayim. Pirush, what does Soharim mean? Shemakirim kol min schora. They know all merchandise. Ashit is damin liknotal arba. And they sell for a profit, which means they make a commission, like brokers do. Sound familiar, Tomer? You know this type of lifestyle? V'teda. The broker is not the money man. The broker doesn't have any money. The broker is trying to make a commission. He's trying to make a vig. The money is in the wholesaler. The money is in the merchant. So here you have the perfect storm. Yishma'alim got all the money. They're sitting on the money. And the Midyanim are sitting on the intellect. They're sitting on the brains. So beautiful. So you need to put the brains of the Midyanim with the money of the Ishmaelim, and then you have what's called a sale. Uba'al Akis, the ones with the money, yikne al-piv. They trust the Midyanim. They trust the Soharim. Kemo shiyadu azeh bepinot gedolot ba'olam. As we know this in the way of the world. Go to different markets in the world. We see this all day long. The brokers don't have a dollar in their pocket. And they're sitting trying to convince the businessman that has money to buy this and this for this price. And they take a percentage. Ubim sa'ut elu ha-soharim, which means, through the assistance of the soharim, nigmar ha-davar shel ha-mecher le-Yishma'ilim. They finalize the sale to the Yishma'ilim. Ve-hu she-amar ha-katuv va-ya'avru anashim midyanim soharim. That's what the pasuk says it. That when the Yishma'ilim came by, chance of sale, 0%. But at that moment, all of a sudden, some merchants came by. If it wasn't for the Midianim, the Ishmaelim are not, what do they call it in real estate? You need a buyer. He has to be an interested buyer. Correct? You have to have a seller that's interested in selling and a buyer that's interested in buying in order to make a deal. Huh?
Motivated,
exactly. Serious. I'm talking about Baruch. Now, Yishmaelim were not serious, and they were not motivated, and they were not interested. Because they don't know anything about buying people. Ah, so comes not a real estate broker, but a business broker. And they're going to now chew off the ear of the Yishmaelim to convince them why they should buy it. And they're sitting on the money, and therefore you can have a sale. And then, of course, they'll fight for the commission like they usually do in the real estate market, because nobody wants to pay commissions. Everybody wants to buy houses. And then once it already comes to pay the commission, I could have bought it without you. I knew it before you. You didn't tell me about it. I knew it. So what'd you call me for? I called just to get the key, because to get in there, but yeah, I can give you anything. Let him pay it. As a rabbi, I get these calls all day long from brokers that got stiffed from their due commissions. That's a lesson, Abotai. Whoever listened to the Pirkei Avot class that we delivered this week, Ayin Sham, we talked about being yashar, being straight. Very, very important talk that was delivered this Wednesday afternoon. The importance of doing the right thing. Today, many people forgot that art of just doing what's right. And the Torah wants you to be yashar. After all, the Jewish people are called Yisrael, which is what? Yashar. But everybody makes hashbonot, how to get out of things and why they don't have to. And in that talk, now I don't want to ruin the talk because I know, anyway, 99% you're not going to listen to it anyway, so I'll just say one thing that we did say over. That to show you there were people that were Yesharim. When Rav Chaim Moshe Chaim Lotzata wrote his book, he didn't call it Mesilat Tzaddikim or Mesilat Hasidim. He called it Mesilat Yesharim, implying that the path of the just, if you remember in geometry, they told us that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Point A being Olam Hazeh, point B being Olam Haba. The shortest way to get there is a straight line by being Yashar. That's the that's the way we teach geometry. There's a nafkamina in that principle. That the Yashrut brings you there. So we told a story on Yashrut from this week's Parashah. That's why I'm interrupting myself and don't know how I'll get back to it. But it's an important story to teach you Yashrut. Do the right thing. So earlier in this parasha, we read about the story of Yehuda and Tamar. So Tamar was married to Yehuda's son Er. Er lived up to his name. He was Ra. Er Otiyot Ra. He lived down to his name. So God killed him. And then Yibum was made, and then she ended up marrying Onan. Onan also made sins. And he died. Now she's already a black widow. She killed two husbands. Or they killed themselves. The next one up, batting third, is Shelah. Yehuda says he's still young. Go home to your father's house and wait. She wanted to bring seed from the family of Yehuda. That time Yehuda's wife, that was called Batshua, the daughter of Shua, died. So Tamar heard that Yehuda was making a trip to, do some sheep shearing. with his partner, Hirad Adulami. Am I boring anybody over here? I know you know the story, but just let me try to get to the point. So what happens is, she meets him at the fork in the road, at the Petah Hainayim. She puts on different clothes. Anyway, Yehuda didn't recognize her because he never looked at her. And she didn't let herself be looked at. She covered her face, so he doesn't know who she is. And he thought she was a zonah. So, they go off the road. Off-road. They go into a private place. And she says, Matiten, you know. The service. What's going to be the payment? He says, well, I didn't know this was going to happen, so I didn't bring my wallet with me. You know, do you take Apple Pay? Do you take Venmo? No, we don't take Venmo. So that's a problem. So he says, listen, I'll pay you a certain amount of animals, but I don't have them with me. Can I give you a collateral? Okay, give me your ring. Give me your stick. And what else? Hotamcha, your stick. Petilcha is what? Let's read the pasuk. You got to find out what these things are. Not that it's important for this Hadush here. But the pasuk says, "Ma eravon hotamcha upeti lecha." As she says, "Tabat v'simlatcha." Your robe. Okay, bayitena. So he gives us a collateral. And he's with her, and she gets pregnant. And now, they part ways. Now Yehuda's got to make good, he's got to pay her. He's got to want his collateral back, he needs to sign checks, and she has his stamp. So he sends the payment through his friend. Velo metza'ah. She was nowhere to be found. So he asks the people of the town, "Ayya kedisha? Ibainai maladar? That was by the fork in the road." The darshanim say, "Ayya kedisha? Where do you find kedusha? Ibainai maladerich. Watching your eyes on the derich." But Yomiru, they said, "If that's where kedusha is, lo hayta bazeh kedusha. You're not going to find any kedusha." Because it's very hard to watch your eyes on the derech. So it comes back to Yehuda. They claim there's no kedusha in this town. Go find her. Take it. I don't want to be embarrassed. What's the embarrassment? She's got now Yehuda's private stuff. And still was going on and on. So Yehuda said, this can be very embarrassing to me now because she can go along. You understand? This is good over. This is Yehuda. How do you have all this private stuff? He said, the chilak penye labos. He knew that this could be humiliating. So he said, do me a favor, go find and pay her and get the collaterals back. Good so far? I asked a simple question. Why didn't Yehuda just take the collateral back from her after he finished whatever he did? I know that. But my point is, he knows that every second she holds the collateral is a major humiliation factor here. And don't tell me, well, she's stronger than him. You know, that's a gibor. Who's the rabbi? Rabbi, ask this question. That what? Oh. So now, that would be my second point. But at this point, you just take it back. And if Tamar says, oh, you told me, I know I told you, but you know what? You got to take my word. I'm an honest guy. Give me the collateral back. Why did he take it back? You know what the answer is, Jacob? Because he's Yashav. Because he gave her a collateral, and she's holding it, and she didn't get paid yet. And he gave her the word, take the collateral, and I'll pay you. Even though now it's humiliating, and even though now, you know, listen, you got to do the right thing. You can't now all of a sudden tell somebody, I'm giving you the collateral, and after you're done, he finished his business, give it to me back. You didn't pay me, change the deal. Change the deal, like they do all day long, your business. After you finish and you got your benefit, now let's change the deal. Well, change the deal, but you promised me. I promised you when I needed you. Now I don't need you anymore. So therefore, give it to me back. I don't need it back, I'll grab it back. You understand my point? So what is Yehuda Rabotai? He's Yashav. He's straight. And let me tell you a lesson about being straight. The rule is, you don't lose out. Now, those people will say, there's a saying in America that it doesn't pay to be honest. So honesty is the best policy, but it's not best in business. It's the best policy if you want to be like Benjamin Franklin, who wasn't a businessman. But if you want to be a businessman, you have to... Honesty is not good for business. But they're wrong, because the rule is that cheaters never prosper, and people that are yashav... Okay, see that? Everybody should learn from Abe. He comes in, he gives the rabbi a check, and he sits down. The only one that does that. Hazak Baruch Abe. You could stay. He pays his membership. Everybody comes in, they just take from the rabbi, get nothing in return. Guy comes in, before he even says hello, here's your payment, puts it on the table, klasna. Talk about Yashar. 100%, no problem. In any event, so you see over here, what happened? Look how everything works out now. So now who's holding the collateral? Tamar. Now, but some 3 months later, she's pregnant. She's very pregnant. She's apparently pregnant. They come to Yehuda and they tell him, listen, we don't know what's going on. Your daughter-in-law, she's pregnant. It can't be. She's not married. There's only one way. And we don't believe in immaculate conception. So there's only one way. Must have been she committed znut. She's the daughter of a Kohen. Yehuda makes a psak halacha as the abedin, but she uha b'tesaref. Now, she was pregnant with twins, so therefore, you're going to kill now three people. That's it. That's the ruling. Tamar was a tzaddik, and she doesn't want to embarrass Yehuda publicly, so she says, can I approach the bench? And she approaches the bench and she just puts a bag in front of Yehuda and says, to the one that owns this stuff, that's the one I am pregnant from. He opens the bag. There's my ring. There's my shirt. There's my stick. Hold it. Tzadikah mimeni. She's right. It's from me. And then everybody lives happily ever after. I'm not explaining the Yibum situation or the Geulah, whatever happened. But my point is, what would have happened if he would have taken back the collateral? There's your answer. Then, Tamar is committed not to embarrass Yehuda. So she's not going to embarrass Tzadikah. So what's going to end up happening? Yehuda is going to end up burning three innocent people. But because he was Yashav, and he said, I gave her the collateral, I'm not changing the deal, that was the condition, it might lead to my embarrassment. So we don't go back on our word. Because of that, it saved the lives of three people and ultimately brought Mashiach into the world. Mashiach is the product of what? Yesrut. You hear what's going on? Now, David Iscariot reminds me that we gave another proof. I still recommend you listen to the Shiur on Pirkei Avot. Because we elaborated it properly. I don't want this to be the excuse to say you don't have to listen to it. Rabbi gave it to us on Friday morning shiur. Listen to it anyway. We produce a Pirkei Avot class every Wednesday, just for FYI, for those that are like to follow the new releases. So now we brought another proof. Everybody's over 18 over here, right? Yosef is now working for Potiphar. Mrs. Potiphar, Zolicha they call her. Zolicha, that's her name. Had eyes on Yosef. Yosef is handsome. So what happens? Yom yom, day in and day out, day in and day out. Seduction. Yosef, 17 years old, he's alone in Egypt. This is a big nisayon. And it says even at one point he was contemplating it. When he went in to do melachto, according to one of the opinions of the Talmud, it says he entertained it. He entertained it. Let's put it that way. That's how much the desire, the lure, the attraction was. All of a sudden, she grabs him. She grabs me. She solicits him. But grabs his beged. Now, very simple question. Who's stronger, Yosef or Eshet Potiphar? Correct. Yosef. The Shivatim, I spoke to somebody once in Montreal, a good friend of mine, who was a black sash. Or remember, red sash. The highest level you can be in the karate world, that's what he is. He's like a student of, what's his name, Lee? Bruce Lee. Big guy in karate. He's the head of the school over there. Religious guy. But he's deadly. He could crush you in 3 minutes with a smile, without even with a tuxedo on. He doesn't have no blood. He just hit you with his finger. He can kill you in 1 second, the guy. holding a martini in one hand, he can kill you with fingers. Boom, like that. Nothing. He can keep on walking. That's the guy. So he was telling me that he knows all the chokhmot. He says there's no question the Shivatim were warriors and they were experts in this thing here. Yeah, because he says, when for example, Hushim, the son of Dan, when Hushim kills Esav, he says, we always read it like that. We read it like simpletons. He took the club and he said, do you know what type of club speed and do you know what type of precision you need? Because Esav's also a warrior, by the way. Esav's not some chicken. Esav's also a warrior. You know, and you get one shot. He said, you know the club speed, how many things? He said, well, warriors, they do all this this methodology. So Yosef, he's a giant. So you know what I would have done? Take the shirt out of her hand. Why leave her with incriminating evidence? If she's got the shirt, nah, she comes and says, look, I was here, he left his shirt off, he took his shirt. Pull it out, there's no evidence. You understand? So the rabbi said, why didn't he take the shirt? Not Yashan. It's my boss's wife. You don't pull it out of her hand. He felt it was not part of Yashrut. You don't fight with a lady. She took it. I'm not going to start pulling it out of her hand. It's my boss's wife. We don't have interaction like this. That's what they said. Remember what I told you? If you're Yashan, you don't lose. What ended up happening? So there's two ways of looking at this over here. Why didn't the husband of Potiphar kill Yosef? Simple question, by the way. Which means she's coming along and saying that she says that when they were actually having, everybody over here is 18, right? When they were actually intimate, Potiphar and his wife, during the time of intimacy, she said, this is what he did to me. Meaning, she waited when they were actually in the distance and see what you're doing to me. That's what he did. Now, if you're Potiphar, kill the guy. But what did he do? He puts him in a VIP prison. Asher Sarisei HaMelech Yosvim Sham. That's not Otisville. He put him in a country club. What are you talking about? Kill the guy. guy, he sleeps with your wife. And if you don't want to kill him for whatever reason, you don't put him in a country club, you put him in a pit. Let him rot in the pit with snakes and scorpions. No. Hashem said, Sadisea Melech, you know, he put him where all the senators and all the, you know, all the Hashuvim go.
Why?
You know what the explanation is? Because he knew he didn't do it.
Right.
Right, he says. He knew he didn't do it. How?
They told
him. Forensic evidence. What's the evidence over here? They don't have a dress like the president had. What's the evidence that they had over here? One piece of evidence, sure. So they got to do the fingerprints. They got to do all that. That's the evidence. So they send it to Scotland Yard. Scotland Yard looks at the shirt and notices something very, very telling. Well, the shirt obviously was ripped off. It was ripped off. It was ripped. It was a tear on the shirt. Now, where was the rip? They noticed that the rip on the shirt was on the back of the shirt. Which means that Yosef was running away and she grabbed the shirt from behind and she ripped the shirt. So they said, if she was trying to do something, the rip would have been on the front. But the rip is in the back. So therefore, and they showed the evidence to Potiphar. I said, listen, we don't want to tell you anything. But with all due respect, you know, your wife, she might not be telling the truth. She says, I know she's not telling the truth. You don't think I know my wife? She looked at the credit card bill. She's buying all these dresses recently. She's buying all these perfume. It's like, not for me. I don't see any of it. So therefore, he said, I know she's up to... But what could I do over here? I cannot go against my wife now and take the Jew's side. And I'm not going to kill him because he's an innocent guy. And he knows that the beracha came from Yosef. So he said, I'll put him in a prison, make it easy for him, make it comfortable for him. But again, in that prison, who does he meet? The butler and the baker. The butler and the baker have dreams. Yosef, of course, interprets the dreams. Before you know it, Yosef is sitting interpreting Paro's dream. Because what? Because he left the evidence in Potiphar, Eshet Potiphar's hands. If he would have taken the evidence, he might have died. I don't know if he goes to jail, he's not going to the jail with the butler and the baker. Do you understand? Because Yosef did what's right. Yeah, she had to fight with her. She took it. Cheaters never prosper, and people that are yashar always prosper. You have the two proofs that we brought? That's the... Why did we say this? Let's go back where we are. We didn't come to talk about this, but we came to talk about the story of Yosef being sold. So if you remember, we asked the question that who was Yosef sold to? So the Orah HaMekadosh is telling us now that really he was sold to the Ishmaelim. But since the Ishmaelim are not fluent in business, they are just merchants. So therefore the Midianim, who are Soharim, which we learned that are brokers, so they actually came along and brokered the deal. Okay, is that good? Now let's continue. Where is this Orah HaMekadosh over here? What's the place? Oh, here it is. Vine, kevan sheben shenehem hamidyanim vayishma'elim haya mecher. So it turns out it was a joint effort. The sale to Egypt. Who gets credit for selling Yosef to Egypt? Well, clearly, who's on the deed, on the document of sale? The sale is coming from Yishma'elim to Mitzriim. But you also have to give the assist to the Midianim on the sale, because if it wasn't for them, there would be no purchase in the first place. Right? So he says, V'nekeman sheben shenehem, ha-Midianim ba-Yishma'elim, Haya hamecher. Hare yesh lemidanim chelik berevach letzad ki emakonim. Ah, which means they were smart brokers. They came along and said that we not only get a dividend from the Yishmaelim and from the brothers, but we also get a dividend if Yishmael sells it. Yeah. It seems they were traveling together in the caravan. Now, you guys are better businessmen than me. They could make a deal like that with the Ishmaelim that, listen, we're selling you a good item and we want royalties. And you know, if you sell it, so therefore, when they sold it down to the Egyptians of Rahim Kadosh, who made profit? Ishmaelim, and they had to give something back to Midyanim. Who knows? For all we know, maybe the Midyanim found the Potiphar. But the Ishmaelim, Chalik Berebach, the Sadkiyim, Baal Yekisam, Asher Natnu Eshim Kesef. So basically now, who paid for it? Ishmaelim paid Eshim Kesef. But since the broker is the Midyanim, so therefore now when Ishmael's gonna sell it, the broker's got to get something. That's what Rami Kadosh learned. The broker will get something from the ultimate sale because they have a chelik in it. You want that? No.
Yeah.
What chelik do they have in it? Brains. Your money, my brains. Perfect shiduch. That's the text. V'midyanim machru oto el Mitzrayim. True, that text is not inaccurate. The Midianim sold him to Mitzrayim, meaning ki letzad shayalem chelik bo, v'gam him ayudim ha'erech. When they're selling it to Potiphar, who's doing the talking? The Midianim, not Ishmael. They have no idea what the guy's worth. So therefore, it's the Midianim that actually broken the sale. That's what it means. The Midianim sold it to Mitzrayim. They were the ones that were negotiating it. Lo Yishmaelim. They're selling spices. They have no idea what it costs. But who owns the asset? That's why the pasuk says, "Vayikneu Potifar miyad haYishmaelim." The yad represents what? What does the yad represent? No. The ownership. Under whose yad is Yosef? He's under the yad of... So that's why the pasuk is Meduyak. Vayikneu miyad haYishmaelim. Which is, although the Midanim sold him, but he was purchased from the possession of the Ishmaelim. See how both work now? Dikdek lomar miyad. Ki biyadam haya shuridu shama. Ve'en mitziut liknoto Potifar zulat mishaya biyado. They can only buy from the owner. Midyanim cannot sell it without permission now of the Ishmaelim. So they can only buy it miyad, the original owner. Ve'gam lo Yishmaelim yichodim limokro. But Ishmaelim cannot sell it because of the owner because they have no idea what they're doing. So they need the Midyanim. הם לבדם בפנים המדיינים, בלבד טעם שמבקיעים בשוויו, וידעו כמה שיעורו. What is the Or HaChaim HaKadosh think about what he just said over here? ובזה נתיישבו הכתובים כפתור ואפרח. He says it's a button with a flower on top. That's how much he loves this Hiddush. And he says, although the rabbis have a different way of learning it in the Derash, Upshata katuv hu kemoshe katafti. Veha derasha tidrosh. If you want to make derashot, good luck to you. Make derashot. But the pshat is the way I want to explain it. So that's a beautiful new way now, or an old way, that was revealed to us how to learn the sugya. All right, we'll just make one more he'ara, quick he'ara. On the parasha. So the ketonet pasim, this technicolor coat, as we used to call it when we were young, Joseph and the technicolor coat. The ketonet pasim. So the Gemara in Megillah, we're going to get to it, B'zat Hashem, it's the next Gemara in the cycle of the Daf Yomi. So what does it say? It says, a person, a father, should never show favoritism to his children. It's because of an extra 2 sila'im of milat, of fabric. Yosef was sent out to Mitzrayim, and the Jews ultimately went into exile. That's the way the Gemara refers to the ketonet. Shte sila'im shel milat, of fabric. Why would the Gemara be interested in telling me the shte sila'im? What's the lesson in that? So I saw a beautiful derash on this. What ultimately caused the brothers, before the dreams, to hate Yosef? The dreams only added, as the after the dreams it says, Vayosifu od sino otos, Vayosifu. But the sina already was before. Vayave Yosef et dibatam ra'al avihim. Yosef was going back to the father and squealing on them, as we would say. The brothers are eating this, the brothers are calling the Shavuot names. Again, Yosef is, of course, well-intended. Obviously, he's doing the to'elet. He knows all the rules of the Hafetz Chaim. We're not going to, indict Yosef. But the brothers didn't think so. The brothers felt that this is dibada'a. What is he doing? They were very upset from this dibara'a. Amalok temlok aleinu. You're going to be the king over us? Immashol temshol banu. There's a famous Gaon of Vilna on that. Amalok temlok aleinu. Immashol temshol banu. It's a double language. What were they saying to him? You want to be our king? You want to be our Moshel, our ruler? Malok temlok, hamashol temshol. What's the two things? Well, they heard the dreams. What was the first dream? The first dream was that, what was that, with the cows? Oh, that's next week. Keep on getting mixed up from all these dreams over here. The ladder, right? The ladder. Oh, that was another dream. Unbelievable. All these dreams. Oh, the wheat. Okay. V'hine anachnu me'alimim alumim v'toch ha'sadeh. Right? They're making these stalks in the field, the bundles. V'hine kama alumati, v'gam nitzaba. V'hine tesubena alumotechem. And what happened? Tesubena, you surrounded me. V'teshtachavena alumati. You bowed down. Then by halom ahead, they had a different halom. Vayomiru lo yachave, balochtem loch aleinu, im mashol tem shol banu. What are you saying in your dream over here? You want to be the king? You want to be our ruler? So the Gaon of Vilna learns that there's a difference between a melech and a moshel. What's the difference? Melech en melech beloam. Melech is a king that is accepted by the people. The people need to have a king, so they nominate a king to be their leader. Like they did to Yiftach. Right? We need a Rosh, we need a Katzin. Katzin ti'alenu, Rosh ti'alenu. That's a melech. He's the king by the will of the people. A moshel, however, is the opposite. What's a moshel? By force. Exactly, by force. A moshel. People didn't choose him. So in the dreams, they didn't know what Yosef was trying to be over here. And one pasuk it says over here, "Vehine kama alumati v'gam nisaba." Kama alumati sounds like what? I want to be a moshel? Kama alumati. It sounds like you're doing it from your own. What do you want to be? You want to be a melech? What are you telling us over here? Either way, we don't like either option. But Hamalotim lo kalenu, Mashotim shobanu. And he brings the ayah to the nuance from the tefillah. It says, Ki ladonai ha-melucha u-moshel baguin. Before Mashiach comes, to us, God is a melech. We accept God willingly. But to the goyim, they don't accept him. Therefore, to God, before Mashiach comes, is a moshel. It's against their will. However, when Mashiach comes, what does it say? It says, "V'haya Adonai le'melech al kol ha'aretz." Because now he's not melech al kol ha'aretz. Now he's only melech on Yisrael. However, when Mashiach comes, he'll be melech, not moshel. That's the Gaon Mevilna. Anyway, that's the way it learns over here. Back to our point. But you see, for this thought, though.
I'm sorry. We saw by the Kama Lumati, we saw that Moshe, where do you see the Melech in that?
Because it says over here, Veinet the Suven na Lumatachim, you surrounded me. You came on your own, you surrounded me in your mouth. So that's a, you're a Melech, but you're a Moshe. So what do you want to be from me? Kama is Yosef. So what's the explanation? So I saw that Sharim say it like this. Famous Gemara that talks about there's a rule that whenever you're giving musar to a hacham, dai la hacham bermiza. All you gotta give a hacham is remez. You don't have to tell it to him explicitly. They say a wise man gets the hint. Wise man gets the hint. I don't have to say it. You understand what I'm talking about. A tipesh, even if you tell it to him, you're talking to me? I don't even know what you're talking about. He doesn't know you're talking to me. But. So therefore, Yaakov Abinu wants to give a musar to Yosef. He's talking too much. I explained this morning why he's talking too much. You remember when Yosef was born? Whose stomach was Yosef originally in? Leah. And then what happened? That means Leah would have Yosef. That means Rachel would be less than the Shefahot. She would only have one kid. One Shevet. So what happened? And who was in Rachel's stomach? Dinah. So there was what's called a switcheroo. That what happened? Yosef went into Rachel. And Dinah went into... There was a switch. Either like that, or they switched themselves. Yosef turned into Dinah, Dinah turned into Dinah. However you want to learn the... I'm not a fertility expert, exactly how that maneuver takes place. You have to ask the experts today how you do that. But nonetheless, something happened there. That means, initially, Yosef was conceived as a girl. And Dinah was conceived as a boy. So the Mekubalim, right, that's why Dinah had teva of a boy, but tetze Dinah, she goes out. That's the nature of a boy. And Yosef had nature of a girl, he's fixing his hair, he's doing all these vanity items, and he talks a lot. He talks. That's Denech Nashim, the Gemara Kedushin says, 10 measures of speech came down to the world, the ladies took 9, and left the men 1. And Chabaruch used to say, even that one, they took 95% of that one. But the point is, they have some ladies that text me, Rabbi, we don't appreciate the jokes that you make. I'm married already, I'm fine. So now, so therefore, the Gemara says in Megillah, beautiful Gemara. The Gemara there is trying to show us the value of silence. So the Gemara says, silence is golden. And silence is worth twice the amount of speech. On the market, on the word market. So the Gemara says, Mila besela. You could sell a word, it's worth one coin. Mishtoka, Betren. So how much is silence worth? So therefore, Yaakov saw that Yosef is bringing the batam ra'a. So he gave him mishkal milat shte silaim to teach him mishdoka betren. Don't talk so much. You're agitating the brothers against you. That was the ketoret pasim was a musar. He says, listen, my son, I got your ketoret pasim. Notice the weight. This is the weight. Mishkal shte silaim. He's agam. He gets it. Mishdoka betren. He was trying to teach his son, silence is golden. Therefore, was the ketoret pasim was like a... it was a rehabilitation for Yosef. It wasn't for the brothers to get jealous. Adrabah, that was something he needed. It was not something that was, like we always learn, status. It was something, you know, a child gets glasses. Do the other brothers get jealous? Hey, how come your boy, how come he has eyeglasses? I want eyeglasses. Oh, so go get eyeglasses. It's not a zechut thing, eyeglasses. You need eyeglasses. You don't have it. So you're jealous of that? You're jealous. No one's jealous of somebody else's prescription. So the same thing over here. The ketoret was a prescription. You know, yeah, he needed it for the neighbors over there. Nonetheless, that would be the Musar also from the Perasha. Number one, we learned Yeshrut. Number two, we learned the power of being silent. And number three, we learned the interaction of how Yosef was sold. That it was actually a combination. Midyanim being the brokers and Yishmaelim being the purchasers. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.